Where Nobody Knows Your Name is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. Hello, we're back. It's James.
And Barry.
We're back for episode 5 of season 10. Oh, how they fly by, Barry.
Oh. Don't they just? Yes.
Yes, this is Ma's Little Maggie. It originally aired on October 17th, 1991, which was George Wendt's 43rd birthday.
Happy birthday, George.
There you go. Lovely stuff. Directed by James Burrows and written by Tracy Newman and Jonathan Stark, which we haven't seen much from. But it's a fun one. We'll let you know that straight off the bat.
Yeah, yeah, a bringing together of several loved characters.
Yes, and I think that's something Cheers is doing well in its later seasons. A lot of sitcoms, 10 seasons in, start struggling for ideas. Even the sitcom giants, Friends being the one which people often quote, when it got to the end, you could tell they were struggling for storylines a bit. What Cheers has done well, at least, is take loved characters and gone, what happens if we put them together?
Mm.
And it works.
It does work. This is a nice episode.
So, what is the cold open?
Well, the cold open is, well, very detached from the actual episode, but it's Woody thinking about how big the universe is at the bar, and Frasier sees the quizzical look on his face and pulls him out of his internal reverie. And when he finds out what he's thinking about, he
explains the science.
Yeah.
Woody.
Oh, sorry, Dr. Crane. I was just thinking about how big the universe is.
Yes, it is, Woody. As a matter of fact, it's expanding all the time. Spiraling outward ad infinitum from the center of its origin at an alarming 7 miles per second.
You mean all of us are getting bigger?
Oh, no, Woody, we're not expanding. The universe is.
Although some of us could stand to eat a few less jelly donuts.
So as the universe expands, what happens to us?
Well, someday we'll just explode into billions of atoms, which themselves will cease to exist in time. By 10 quadrillion years, there'll be nothing left of anything.
May I have those pretzels now, Woody?
Sure. Better get them while you can.
Just due to entropy, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good word. Today's word is entropy.
Okay. Meanwhile, Lilith just wants pretzels.
I think I'd want pretzels after a conversation like that.
I've had a very similar conversation, right? It's similar in terms of theme, not in terms of subject, where the whole, would you move into a house where someone had died? And I'm like, well, if it was 200 years ago, which in this country is very likely, I'd be okay with it. It doesn't feel disrespectful, then it feels historical. Whereas if it was 20 years ago, they've still got relatives around, they've still got people who still visit the area, and it would just feel disrespectful more than anything.
I'm not sure I feel quite the same, only because I think often you probably wouldn't know too much about it, especially if you're renting a flat. You'd probably never find out too much about previous tenants unless you saw their mail or something like that.
Yeah.
If it was 10 minutes ago, yeah, I'd have funny feelings about the whole thing.
Or if it was a crime that was caused, murder is the word I'm looking for.
That's always an issue. People have a lot of superstition about that sort of thing. You know, the Indian burial ground trope from a lot of horror films.
I think you and I are probably of the similar opinion that if we're not as concerned about the spectral elements, we're probably more concerned that, well, if it was someone who got murdered, if the murderer is still out, I don't want to be at a place where they know the location of.
No, there is that. And also, if it was an ancient burial ground, I'd be worried that at some point they'd want to knock my house down to preserve
historical something. Preservation. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a security thing.
Yeah. And certainly there was an interesting article recently, I can't remember what newspaper it was, that talked about a lot of old houses having a decay in its structure that led to the release of gases that could be hallucinogenic, thus maybe explaining some ghostly sightings.
Oh, because of hallucinations.
Mm. I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting, yeah. And folds back to something John and I were talking about in an episode only a couple of weeks ago, that whether spiritual elements exist, whether mystical elements exist, is irrelevant when it comes to the psychological impacts on the person.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that can be extrapolated to religion as well, because they've shown that the effects on the brain, when scanning the brain of religion, are tangible, regardless of whether you think that's the religion or simply, you know, an associated brain mechanism. But it's interesting to say that maybe it's the experience of the individual that's most important.
For sure. Tell you what, that was a grandiose opening conversation, wasn't it?
Inspired by Frasier.
Yeah, I haven't even gotten to the episode yet. So let's do that. And Cliff enters, suited and or booted.
Yeah, looking very, very swag, isn't he?
Sharp-dressed man, as Billy Gibbons would say.
Mm. And interesting to see him out of his uniform, which is a mainstay of almost every episode.
I mean, I think he's dressed up well. Mm. Pulled himself together, yeah.
And mighty well, his girlfriend is coming to visit from Canada.
Coincidentally, I think you and I have the same red suit, but we've never worn it at the same time. We'd look like game show hosts.
Wouldn't we?
It'd be amazing.
There's the future, James. This was but a toe in the water, this podcast.
Yeah, we'll show up to events and be our own double act with a tombola and everything. Yeah, you're right. He's dressed up for his girlfriend, who he's picked up from the airport because she's been in Canada and she's grown tired of those harsh Canadian winters.
Yeah, so she wants a bit of warm American Cliff.
My granddad used to say that it was about Napoleon. It's a very highbrow joke, but it's a joke I like nonetheless, which is Russians didn't defeat Napoleon. Russia did, to do with, you know, the weather.
Yeah. I think you could say the same of World War II as well.
Yeah, probably. But he wants to break the news to Ma that Margaret is moving from Canada to be with him, which is nice.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Finally, Cliff may settle down.
We've not really seen or heard much about Margaret, but it's always nice to know that they're keeping it going. The love is still there.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want Cliff to be alone at the end of his days.
No, he would get even more irritating.
Yeah, I think it's a lovely thing when every sitcom has its sort of strange characters, whatever that might mean.
Your Kramer Radar to an extent in MASH.
Yeah, Joey and Friends to an extent, although I think he's just a bit kooky, isn't he?
A bit kooky, a bit dense. Phoebe's very kooky, but...
Oh, that's true, yeah. Super Hans is a good example in Peep Show.
Yeah, he's just the embodiment of hedonism, though, isn't
he? Yeah. Oh, wonderful. For any of our American viewers who haven't seen Peep Show, Super Hans is like James said, a hedonistic character who is mostly on some sort of substance and will occasionally turn to someone and say something like, "Can you reassure me that my legs aren't on fire?
This crack is really Moorish."
Yeah. But it's nice when those characters are still given a sort of...
modicum of understanding.
Yeah, and a storyline and a positive outcome. It'd be very easy just to sideline them throughout as the joke.
Yeah. Well, and that's what Seinfeld did well with the Kramer character, that often he had his own schemes going on, which by the end of the episode had an impact, positive or otherwise, on whatever Jerry was doing that episode. Mm.
Well, so Cliff is going to get his girlfriend back. Sam is asking if he wants to get married. And Cliff says he isn't ready. But I think the reason he's not ready is because of his mother.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's established that she's quite overbearing. However, you see a lot of Cliff's mannerisms from her.
Oh, yeah.
But also... and perhaps it's a sign of the times. Because they haven't been living together, it could be a rush to get married having not lived together for a prolonged period of time, you know?
A very sensible choice.
Yeah, I know either my mum or some of my mum's friends hid from their parents when they moved in with their significant other. Because, you know, at the time it was, you're living with a man in sin, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Nowadays, we We love sin.
Can't get enough of sinning.
But also, I think it's quite sensible to live with someone, and
it's a litmus test of sorts.
Yeah, experience their foibles and their irritant behaviour.
Yeah, exactly. See what the differences are. See whether you can do it, basically.
Mm.
Yeah, because once you're married, you'll have to, and you don't want to do that. Realize you can't live together at that point. Could be untoward.
Mm. Yeah. Which is why I find sort of the different types of marriage quite interesting. Like an arranged marriage, you can also see the benefits of that in that you are going to commit, and therefore you're going to actively have to deal with any problems you encounter and form a relationship that addresses those problems, or at least makes it a pleasant place for you to be because you're committed. And I think there's quite a positive element to that. It's very easy when you're given the full choice of the world to sort of be picky to the nth degree and say, well, not that, and never make those compromises.
When the world is your oyster, you're more susceptible to food poisoning. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe I am.
Maybe I am. Me putting words in your mouth.
So, yes, they are going to be living together, it seems. But Cliff is initially concerned about his mother, and his mother comes in to kind of show us all why.
Clifford, for the 100th time, if you want to use my shower cap in the morning, will you put it back where you found it? Perhaps as a reminder, you'd like to wear it for the rest of the day?
I like my hair wet in the shower. I think I'd feel quite odd if it wasn't. I can understand having longer hair and the difficulties in drying it.
Yeah, like one of our co-hosts, Troy, masses of hair.
Oh,
he had a shower wound up mine the other day, still unclogging it.
He has an impressive mane, doesn't he? So he has the kind of hair that exists in two different states. The
up and down?
The up and down, but the up is very well contained, and the down is, it's an explosion of
wild
hair,
man.
It?
Yeah, yeah. For those who don't know who Troy is, people in the office who first met him with hair down, they've gone, Moana? and it's not inaccurate.
No, not at all. Yeah, it's a very similar locks, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yes. So, shower cap embarrassment over. We move on to Rebecca. Comes in complaining about payroll being off. This is of no consequence to the script. I think it's just an introductory line for her.
Yeah.
But she spots Sam drinking coffee.
How dare he?
Is annoyed. Yeah. And why is that, James?
Because they're trying to conceive a child, and apparently coffee, I don't know the medical term, but coffee reduces fertility.
Well, that sounds quite medical to me.
I meant like the noun. Like a stimulant or, you know, something like that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I don't know what the word is. It doesn't matter. But she's concerned it will reduce his fertility.
Yes. But this is pre-laptop on the lap concerns.
Yep.
What other things? Long distance driving can have an effect.
Mobile phones, even. There was a concern about that because of, again, radiation.
Yeah, yeah. Which I'm reliably informed is not a concern these days. Something about the wavelengths of the signals that we're receiving.
To be honest, mobile phones in some form have been around for so long now that I think,
yeah,
you know, on the average has kind of been like, well, it might have an effect. But everyone's affected, you know?
Yeah, there'd be a lot of people with bumpy ears, and yeah, we wouldn't be doing very well if it was the case. So, yeah, Sam is having his, well, baby-making equipment monitored heavily by Rebecca, and so she's limiting him in his activities so that he remains fertile, as you said, James.
He, you know, at first kind of argues with her, but she suggests some new underwear because basal temperature, is that the correct word? Basically, to keep the prime area at optimal temperature.
Yeah. She does. And she's also got all of her planning in her calendar. And there's quite a nice little gag here, isn't there? Rebecca shows her calendar and she's put a B in her calendar.
It's the most crass joke Cheers has got away with, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Are we able to play that clip, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Right, you see here on the calendar, I put a B for baby on the days when I'm likely to conceive. You know, the days when we should make love.
That's funny. I usually put an F.
F?
For fertile. What did you think I meant? You know, I'm not so sure I want you to carry my baby.
I howled at this. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good. Really good joke. So Cliff is plucking up the courage to broach the subject of marriage with his ma, and I will correct that sentence. He is talking to his mother about marriage to Margaret.
Yes, that is the correct way to phrase that sentence.
And his mother takes this quite sarcastically. She feigns like this is the end of her days.
It's so passive aggressive.
Yeah.
This isn't like the time you had your heart set on Priscilla Presley, is it?
No, Ma, this is more than a few hundred silly letters. I actually know this girl. Her name is Margaret. She's from Canada. I love her and she loves me.
Oh, I understand, Clifford. If this is the woman you've chosen to take my place, I guess the only thing for me to do is die.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm dying.
You're not dying. Will you stop it? Come on.
No need to take me to the graveyard, Clifford. Just set me next to your tubby friend there. And when I start to blow, just toss me in the dumpster.
Hey, thanks for bringing your mom by.
It's the way I want to go. Alone in a bar without my son. Anyone who is blood type O is welcome to my organs. I don't recommend the heart. It's been broken. What's that, Grandma? Come toward the light.
You're not dying now. Stop it.
Francis Sternhagen, like Harry the Hat in earlier seasons, every line she's given, she nails it.
Yeah, because she isn't just coming in as a new character. She's coming in as the character that had to create Cliff. And so that's both a great thing for an actor to have that much sort of information and inspiration, but at the same time, it's a really big task to live up to because Cliff is such an out there character and you've got to be the thing that created him.
Here's an interesting question. We may have asked it before. If you were to cast people as Woody's parents, who would you have cast?
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe someone like...
Rodney Dangerfield comes to mind for his father for some reason.
Oh, I would put that maybe as...
his weird uncle.
Yeah, well, maybe as someone like Norm's. Oh, there's a bit out there for Norm. I was going to say, is it Sam Worthington? Who's the chap in who plays the cowboy in Big Lebowski?
Sam Elliott?
Yes, that's it. I think he'd make a good Woody dad, although...
just a really deadpan.
Yeah, but it's whether the parents themselves share his traits. I always thought that they'd just be fairly normal.
Donald Sutherland's probably the right age.
Yeah. I couldn't think of his mother.
No, it's a question for our audience. Who would you have cast as Woody's mother? I think we asked this before, and someone just said Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, which I thought was quite a good answer.
Yeah, that's lovely. It's time for Ma and Margaret to meet.
Yeah, which is a long time coming, but it's a joy to watch.
It starts off very cold, doesn't it? And that wonderful look on Margaret's face of... that she seems to hold almost permanently, but it's sort of that slightly curled lip terror as she sort of looks in every direction she can to get out of a situation.
Yeah. It's always difficult to meet your significant other's parents.
Hmm.
Just assume.
Yeah. it goes from very cold to very warm very quickly.
Yeah.
And they seem to bond over a love of trivia.
There's a line in this which I took personally. It's I forgot what it was that they said, but Maggie picks up on something and talks about trivia, and she goes, "Oh, you know trivia," and she goes, "Oh yeah, it's one of the things which first attracted me to Cliff, his command of trivia, that and his manners." And I was going, I'm going two for two. You know? I didn't like being reminded of similarities between me and Cliff there.
They're some of the better ones, James.
There's some, but you know, I think everyone watches Cheers thinking that they can be Sam.
That's a good question. I've never compared myself to one of the characters. I'm not sure which one I compare to.
I'll let you say that, because I think if I said any of them, you'd be offended in some way, because none of the characters are perfect humans.
No, but and I'll take that as an insinuation that I'm a perfect human. Thank you, James. That's very kind. I do share characteristics with a few of them, I think. Probably, actually, Norm.
Good heavy man, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's laid back. He's a little bit lazy, and he likes his intake.
A consumer of products.
Mm. Anyway, we digress. Margaret and Cliff have gone to Melville's.
Lovely.
And they seem to have a lovely time. And when they get back, Cliff has to go to the loo. Mm-hmm. And the ladies are left alone.
Yeah. And they're chatting away and seem very fond of each other. Mm. But while he's away, Ma makes an announcement.
She does. This is the... Imagine taking this moment away from someone.
But the gang seems happy.
Yeah, there's a big cheer.
Yeah, Cliff comes back. No idea what's going on. No idea at all.
So Ma has taken control of his biggest life decision for him.
Classic Ma.
Classic Ma, yeah. Which is, in one way, it's a good sign, because she likes Margaret. She's giving them her blessing. But on the other side, it's everything that Cliff feared.
She does seem very optimistic, because she says, I mean, Cliff is shocked, we'll say that much, but when we, and it kind of fades out, then comes back. But Ma and Maggie are already excited about the Claven mobile home, and Ma is hoping that this time next year she'll have a grandchild. And I just have to point out her optimism there, because known Lothario, Sam Malone, is struggling to father a child, so she seems very confident in her own son's abilities there.
Yeah, and he is a senior guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, Godspeed.
Well, best of luck to them.
Well, and in order to assist that, she is offering to buy them a mobile home.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's hoping it'll be mobile.
Like an RV type thing. Hearing that there might be small Claven children, Carla gives a knife to Woody.
makes him hold it. Walks to the other end of the bar and then charges stomach first towards it.
Yeah, and Sam catches her. The knife catches him in the belt, really. Luckily, it's just a butter knife. Like,
yeah.
No, you can't do much stabbing-wise with it.
No, but she was heading at a fair pace. She was committed.
She was, yeah. It reminds me of that old Blackadder quote. I think it was from their Millennium special. He goes, "Baldrick, go over there. I'm going to hold up my fist. Could you run into it for me?"
Blackadder. Wonderful.
Ma gets Cliff alone and tries to have the talk.
Yes. I really like how Norm owns up to having already given the talk.
"Now, I don't want you to think that I'm looking forward to this, but with your father out of the picture, it's one of those crosses I'm going to have to bear along with many others. Now, a man and woman love each other very much. They share a very special kind of hug.
Well, look, you don't have to tell me all this stuff. I already know.
All right, who's the dirty mouth who's been telling my son these things?
Only
Only I used a different word for hugs.
I'll tell you what, the writers, they got a sauciness to them, don't they?
They have today. Maybe it was a late one.
Maybe it was, I don't know, oyster and champagne at the catering department earlier in the week.
The ladies, Mara and Margaret, run off to organise things. Sam is in a terrible mood. He's being grumpy with everyone because his bits are cold. Maybe I should elaborate on that.
No, I think the audience got what you meant.
He is obviously wearing the Rebecca-supplied cold underwear.
Yeah. Yeah, his basement's very cold.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the last we see of Sam, I think, in this episode. So maybe he's gone to have a warm bath. There's a really nice bit now where Margaret goes to make peace with Carla because she's heard all about Cliff and Carla's affair.
Yep. And hence, that's why Carla's so mean to Cliff.
Yeah.
And Paul has a great line here when he goes, I didn't know you and Cliff had an affair, but, you know, that explains a lot.
She turns to Rebecca and says, he forgives you too or something.
But you seem to have bounced back.
Yeah, that's it. Lovely. Cliff comes back. He's seems to be outwardly giving his blessing to all this while quietly calling Fraser into the office to have a quick man-to-psychiatrist chat.
Yes.
And he's having doubts. He doesn't want Mar organising his wedding, which I completely understand because I think her last line was, she's got them a tiki-themed wedding somewhere nearby.
That sounds all right. But it's not his decision, and it's not Maggie's decision, which is what the point is.
Mm, yeah. So he tells Margaret first. He tells her that he doesn't want to get married, but that he loves her dearly. And then they collectively go outside to tell his mum to shove it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She doesn't take it well.
No, she doesn't.
He comes up with various phrases. He tells her he's not her monkey anymore. And she says, you can't talk to my mother like that. He really points out that he's 42 years old and will speak to her how he wishes. And she is shocked, Barry.
She is shocked, yeah. And so here's the great reset. And I know it's as longer the series goes on, or longer the series is go on, it's harder to reset because you have to introduce new characters, new themes, new relationships. But the Cliff being under his mother's control is kind of, that is Cliff. That's what makes him. And so as much as it would have been lovely to see Cliff glide off into the sunset with his new love and that's his freedom, it doesn't quite work that way. And so we get this ending where he still needs his ma.
Because he tries to take Maggie up the stairs, you know, carrying like the bodyguard. He hits her tooth off the coat rack, and then at the top of the stairs he drops her. He's far from Richard Gere, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. He's more dumb and dumber.
Yeah.
They come rolling back down the stairs and the end of the episode, which is, it's actually quite a clever callback to earlier where Mar is in control of all this and organising the wedding and even proposing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mar who carries Margaret up the stairs.
She's strong for an elder woman, isn't she?
Yeah.
Fireman's lifting, Maggie.
Well, she's been carrying Cliff all these years, hasn't she?
Oh, that's it. He's a heavy burden to bear.
Mm. Yeah. So, James, who have we got in this episode?
In this episode, it's all characters we've been in before. We've got Frances Sternhagen as Esther Clavin, Annie Golden as Margaret O'Keefe, Paul Wilson as Paul Craypence, Don Bennett, Joan Carey, Joyce Goldman, Aben Ham. That's on my shopping list also.
That sounds like an abbreviation of Abraham Lincoln.
It sounds delicious. Sarah Jane, Julie Lawrence are all credited as bar patrons. Oh, it's not Cliff, it's Mark Clavin. Well, this is a turn-up for the books.
She obviously thinks Cliff isn't capable of his rounds anymore and she's taken over.
Sons, right?
He's been a naughty boy again.
What's he like? Well, tell him we say hi. Hope he can get back on it next week.
Thanks, Ma.
Thank you. But as usual, before we open our letters, we have to give a shout out to our norms on Patreon. So this goes out to Treb Curry. If you want that special norm treatment, then check out our Patreon page for that and so much more. What were the two main subjects of conversation between Ma and Maggie during their meal?
Oh, I'm going to have to guess at this. Trivia?
What specific trivia? Trivia about something specific.
No, I've forgotten.
The two main subjects were Cliff, they were talking about Cliff a lot, and yaks, as in yak, yak, yak.
Yeah. I do remember that line. Okay, James, what are the three things Rebecca asks Sam to stop doing in order to preserve his future offspring?
I don't have notes for this, but I think I remember. Drinking coffee, junk food, and late night movies?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Bit of a science question for you. Mm. According to Frasier, at what speed is the universe expanding?
Oh, let's take a guess. 50 million, no.
I can tell you the units it's in.
Is it in?
It's in miles per second, if that helps.
5 million.
Miles per second.
No. That's a bit strong, isn't it? Because isn't the speed of light 340 meters per second or something?
That is the speed of sound, is 340 meters per second. The speed of light is 300 million meters per second.
I was close. this is someone with a physics degree as well, listeners. No, I don't know.
7 miles per second.
Okay. Impressive.
To answer your question of whether you think it's the same, I would imagine it gets more because, as we know, in space, space is a vacuum, so there's no forces acting the other way, and force equals mass times acceleration. As the force is constant going out, one would assume that it's accelerating.
Yeah, that's a reasonable thought. There's no drag, is there?
It sounds right.
Unless somehow something we don't know about antimatter is providing drag.
Well, then it could be anyone's guess.
Yeah. Let's leave it to someone else to guess.
I hope scientists do that as well. Go, well, this could be the thing, so no idea, mate.
Yeah. Well, that's what antimatter is, isn't it? It's a... There's a thing here. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it does. We can't see it.
It's getting in the way.
Yeah. So let's just call it this.
It's the Cliff Clavin of scientific particles.
What is, again, fairly sciencey, what is the magic ingredient that keeps Sam's underpants nice and cold?
Freon gel.
It is. Very good.
I don't know what that is. I'd imagine it's the same kind of things you have in cool boxes.
Yeah, Freon is in fridges as well, isn't it? It's in the pipes in fridges, Freon gas.
Well, there you go.
There we go. Between us, James, we are a science mastermind.
Thank you. We've got another little message here. It's in regards to Cliff and Maggie, you know, because they have had a long-distance relationship and they have found a way to keep in touch despite that. And we recommend using Zencastr for that. It's a very good video conferencing, very good, not just for our podcast, and we've been using it for years for audio quality reasons and to keep everything the same place. It's been a very good tool for that, but because of how user-friendly it is, even Cliff and Maggie can use it, you know, for sounding your best, for having an all-in-one tool. We recommend Zencastr wholeheartedly. Get the whole family in on that, much like Ma and Maggie are in this episode, so... Yes, go to zencastr.com/pricing and use the code NORM to get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. You know, we want you to have the same easy experiences that we do for all of our podcasting and all the content that we publish. And I want to hear what you've got to say.
Well then, James, we come to the end of another episode. It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. I would invite you to choose a drink. I think something cool.
Iced.
Well, iced champagne really isn't the thing, is it? But you can have it cold, certainly.
This is a shot called a Canadian Ice. That works quite well, doesn't it?
Yeah, and we could have that with a bag of nuts.
We could. It's peppermint schnapps and Yukon Jack.
Sounds wonderful.
What is Yukon Jack? Rugged, untamed, and fearless is what it is. It's a honey whiskey liqueur. Hello.
I was happy with rugged, untamed, and fearless. Let's drink to that. Cheers, James.
Cheers. And we'll talk again next week for another exciting episode.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.